Blessings and the word of the hour you give us, Lord. Thank you for all your blessings you give to us. We love you, Lord, for watching over us and giving us that life eternal, Lord, that gift that you've placed among us, Lord. And be with those that are struggling. Be with each one that has needs and requests. Brother Jimmy and his dad and his mom there. Let's watch over them. Any others that have needs, Lord, thank you for being with Grandma this week once again, and the ones that are watching over, Lord, continue to be with them as well. We ask these blessings now, and be with us now as we worship, and may you be glorified in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing This Is Your House.
Thank you.
He is worthy to
your work here.
Oh, but I've found in time the He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality, something keeps holding me.
Jesus keeps holding me.
Jesus keeps holding me. Every day I see, He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. He's guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality, something keeps holding me. He's a reality, Jesus is holding me.
Amen. Just putting it all together. It's a beautiful thing, amen. Like that, He's a reality because He's holding us. He's proven Himself, like Jesus right. said. And He's our overcomer. Through Him we overcome. Amen.
That's right.
And that proves that we are manifested by Him overcoming us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We're so thankful, amen. Let's have Brother Chris come and sing something about that name. Let's see.
Said that the prophet is his voice. It's his voice to the people. And I remember years ago when I was a kid in the single digits, you know, like y'all, that young, 8 and 7 years old, I remembered hearing Brother Graham's voice, being drawn to that voice. Now, what would do that? It wasn't Satan. It wasn't the nature I was born with. No, it was that deep calling to the deep. You know, and so thankful for that. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful that You called to us, Lord, even when we didn't know You were calling. And there was a part of us that was answering, Lord, even when we didn't know we were answering, Lord. And we're so thankful, Lord, that You have reached out and got Your bride today by the word that You've made manifest, that You've brought to pass, Lord, that You've come down and showed us, Lord. You put a magnifying glass on it and brought it up close to us so we could hear it and know it, Lord, by faith. And we pray that You'll let us take an even closer look tonight, Lord. We would just pull up a little closer to You, Lord. by your word and by the revelation of it. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Man, you can be seated. I was thinking about Rebecca and Eliezer. You know, we went through that quote a while back about how that Jesus was on the road to Emmaus, and Brother Branham said it was about a 6-hour walk, and how that he took them 6 hours and went through the scripture with them and showed them all the things which would come to pass. And he said, and they said later on that their hearts were just burning within them before they knew who he was, by the scripture being represented to them, being brought back to their minds, back to their hearts, pointing these things out. That was making them, their hearts burn within them before they even recognized that he was with them. And I thought about that same thing that could have went on there. I don't know if it went on or not, but there had to be a pretty good ride back on the camel or the horse or whatever they had when Eliezer came back with Rebecca. Because Brother Branham said that they got close and she said, "Is that him? Is that my husband?" And he said, "That's him." And I just thought maybe they talked about Isaac all the way back. She's made this decision, you know. And so that's going to be the thing on her mind. And she's riding back to him. And I'm sure she had plenty of questions for Eliezer. And they talked about him all the way there. And you think about our Eliezer. And you think about what Brother Branham said about the man that you slept and you went camping with. He said that you stayed in the woods with. You'll find out it's these other. I mean, we went over those quotes. Y'all know where those are. I just love how the message has just got so many layers there. And they're all saying these same things. But we wanted to continue where we left off Sunday. And then we got a little more here. And maybe a third part. We'll see how that goes. But just this thought of God magnifying, God unfolding, same thing. To me, that's the same thing. God unfolding and God magnifying. Y'all, excuse me while I'm grabbing my something to wipe my glasses off here with. I look at them several times before I get up here, make sure there's spots on them, and part of the time I get up here and put them on and spots on them. Don't know how that happens. It's a imperfect solution. Be glad you don't have to wear them, because you know, I never thought about it when I was a kid and I had people seeing them wearing them. I thought, well, that's the perfect fix. You know, you put the glasses on, it's perfect fix. Your eyes are fixed putting them on, and it's far from being fixed. Because your eyes do all these focusing for you farther away and farther. And then as in your eyes, this focus is one range. And that's it. You know, so we are thankful for all the years we had. We didn't have to wear them. And we're thankful for the day these things will be, won't ever come into mind again. Amen. So let's start paragraph 420. In Christ is the mystery of God revealed. If God is a mystery, and he was, he had a mystery, then Christ is the revelation of that mystery. Yes. And what is Christ? The anointed man, the anointed Messiah. Who can condemn me of sin? Brother, this is Jesus talking. If I do not the works of the Father, then where have I failed? How you fellas say that you're doing it, your denomination now. Now show me. Yet show me where I fail to be the Messiah. He's telling them, the denominations, show them where they, let them show that they're the Messiah. And I'm showing you that I'm the Messiah. Where are you doing it? Show where I failed. Yeah, that's a challenge you can give out a lot of times, and people run from that challenge, or they'll run around it they won't face it head on. I failed. Show me where I failed. On one sign that God said the Messiah would do, that I haven't fulfilled it. He said, see, God in his body. Now Christ, the works that I do, shall you do also. See, the same God. I thought that was really good. See, it's the same God. Whether it's in Christ or it's in you, it's the same God. He's the one doing the works. The works that I do shall you also see, the same God. See, the works that I do shall you do also. More than this, for I go unto my Father. The church will be a little longer in light, see, vindicating his promised word. As God did his promises in Christ's body, so in Christ, doing his same works in Christ's body. So Christ doing the same thing in the bride. It's his works. The church, see, now making his mystery known to the bride tree in the last day. It's being made known. Bringing forth the fruits that was in the tree at the beginning. It was in the tree at the beginning. Now they're bringing those forth. Going on down. And where does the fruit ripen at quickly? At the top of the tree. Why? The light's on it. Amen. That's right. And right in the top of the tree, in this last days, he's bringing forth a bride tree. So he's really going to labor on this about the life and the stalk and these other things and how that it's just passing through. It's the life, but it's passing through. It's not there. That's not its dwelling place. And that's a very interesting thought that it's not his dwelling place because the seed is the dwelling place of the life. That's where it goes and then it stops. Goes right there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't stop until it gets there. It keeps moving until it gets there. And that's his dwelling place. And in these last days, he's bringing forth a bride tree. Now remember, he is that tree of life. Now see how he's doing this? He went back to grab Jesus and show you that he's the tree of life. And show you that he's bringing through Christ, bringing forth the bride tree, as he called it. Contrary to the serpent seed, you see, he's the seed, the woman's seed. See what the bride tree's bringing forth? Bringing forth this woman's seed that she didn't have, that Jesus had to be. The tree of life in the garden. Unless they put forth their hands and move this tree, they'd eat that tree and live forever. And he's the only tree that can be taken that you can live forever. He's the only tree that you can take and live forever. Is that right? Now, I'm not going to go into that, but you know that you can live forever. And if you start to eat of God's word and you eat of it all your life and at the end of it you decide you're not going to eat no more, then you did not eat of God. Because there's no leaven in him. Because when you quit eating of him, you ate of something else. And there's no leaven in God. And so when you mixed it, you never ate it. If that makes any sense. Because God is the one who's bringing it forth. It's his word. He's the one bringing it to life. If you ever receive anything, if you ever partake of anything, it's because he gave it to you by grace. Don't ever let that leave your heart. His word is life. And that is what is life? His word is life. So if you add anything to it, this is what I was just saying. If you add anything to it, it's not His word anymore. It's close to it, but it's not His word anymore. He's going to show something really good here in just a few minutes. His word is life, and that's really good. And that be the word then, the word of God, which Eve turned down in the Garden of Eden. Then there is Christ, the word, made manifest. There's Eve who turned it down, and he said Adam did too, because he said God brings it back, and we accept what they turned down. The word of God, which Eve turned down in the Garden of Eden, then here's Christ, the word made manifest. So they turned it down back there, just don't eat of this other tree. But then it comes back and is made manifest, and it's Christ. And when he come on earth, he was the tree of life. When he come on earth, he was the tree of life. Do you believe that? And Rome, what did they do? He had to be chopped down, and he was put on a tree of disgrace. Cursed is he that hang on a tree. Become a curse for the human race. And now, through that, don't miss these little things that he says. Through that, he brings forth a bride tree. In how many ways does he do something? Brother Branham said. The way he starts it is the way he does it. He started Adam and Eve on the word. He gave them the word. And that's what he was going to bring this by. Going to bring this bride tree by the word. Isn't that what he just said? Through this, through Christ, he brings forth the bride tree. So he couldn't have changed it. That had to be back there too. And they didn't accept it. So did they bring forth the bride tree? He's bringing it through Christ. He brings forth the bride tree, which will be the tree of life restored back to him. Look what's restored back to him. The bride tree, which will be the tree of life restored back to him. This tree that he brings forth through Christ is the one that's restored back to the garden. Restored back to him as husband and wife in the Garden of Eden. Christ and the bride is the husband and wife that goes back in the Garden of Eden. All glory to God, by the same word and the same God made manifest, the same word and the same God made manifest in husband and wife. The same bride tree back again. Also, making it known. Notice, making it known. There's so much here. We could just keep on going. Notice the tree of Christ's body in the garden. Making his mystery known to his bride tree. And how long has this mystery been hid? Since before the foundations of the world, he's making it known now to his bride tree. And it's by that that she is his bride tree. Now making his mystery known to his bride tree. His tree that came from the tree of life. She's a part of that. What did Brother Bram say over there? There'll be a tree of life in every yard. Remember us reading that in the Church Ages book? Watch, redeemed by Christ, the second Adam. You believe he was? Going back home to Eden with his fallen wife redeemed back home again. That's Christ in the church today. Christ in the church today taking his wife back. See the threefold mystery now? This is the threefold mystery that's been unfolded. It's never been unfolded before until now, until this day. God manifested in Christ. Christ manifested in the church all together to bring back the original Adam and Eve again. Man and woman, which are one, made out of the same blood and same spirit and everything else. Same blood and same spirit and everything else. Is he talking about a fleshly man and woman there? I ask you. Bring back the original Adam and Eve again, man and woman, which are one, made out of the same blood and same spirit and everything else. You think on it. The church is the blood of Christ by the Spirit, because the life is in the blood. See, I hope you're seeing what he's saying. He's not talking about a fleshly Adam and Eve. He's talking about God and his church, husband and wife. They're going back to the garden. The church is the blood of Christ by the Spirit, because the life is in the blood. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost that baptizes us into his body. It baptizes us into his body. That recognizes only his body. The baptism of the Holy Ghost only recognizes his body. Only recognizes his word. His flesh, his word. Denomination won't never touch that. It's a revelation. She knows it. So did Eve know it. Eve knew it too. But she fell. But this one knows it and won't fail. Both of them know it. One fell and another one won't fail. What's the difference? She's ordained. Ordained to what? Eve is ordained. She's a part of Adam. She's on the Lamb's Book of Life with Adam. What's the difference if they're both ordained? She's ordained. Hallelujah. I'm just wanting you to think a little is all. Okay. Not trying to argue with anything. She's ordained. Hallelujah. Whoo. She's ordained to not fall. How is she ordained not to fall? Where is she predestinated? On the Lamb's Book of Life. She's ordained not to fall. She won't fail. She is predestinated to it. Was Eve predestinated to it? But it didn't come then, did it? I hope that makes... I don't want us to gloss over things. I want us to see, have our eyes wide open to what God's doing right now. Mm-hmm. Blessed is the man who will not impute sin. God will not impute sin. You ministers know what I'm speaking of. When there's a couple dozen of you sitting here, see, blessed is the man who God will not impute sin. He won't count it to him. Says David. Notice, redeeming back with him, going home, back to eternal life in a body, eating, drinking, living forever. And I got no argument with that. Isaiah said they would build houses and inhabit them, plant vineyards and eat the fruit. They'll not build and another take it. The children won't take it, but they'll be there with their offsprings. He'll build it and stay there. Amen. He won't build and another eat. He builds and eats himself. Amen. What is it? What is it, this building and eating himself? His bride going back with him, redeemed back to the original Adam and Eve again. For death is left behind. There was no death back there. Death is left behind. There's no chance of death anymore. The decision's already been made, and it's already been fulfilled. It's already been brought to pass. They look back at the cross and see the death has been paid. Who paid it? Brother Brown, did Jesus pay the death? not sure if that, I had to go back and listen to the tape. It makes me wonder if they wrote that down wrong. See that the death has been paid. And now, by faith, we are resurrected with him, sitting in heavenly places right now, looking back to what redeemed us. We're looking back to what redeemed us. Waiting for the husband to come to march on home with him. When you're in Christ, you're looking back at what redeemed you, waiting for him to come. Threefold purpose of God manifested in Adam and Eve. The threefold purpose of God was manifested where? In Adam and Eve, and every prophet, and down through the ages, and he that is to come, he that was, he which is, and he which is to come, the whole manifestation. The whole manifestation, the threefold purpose of God. What did Brother Bram say at the very beginning of this message? He said, he started talking about the thunders and talked about God hadn't shown us what those are yet or hasn't revealed it yet. You can go back there to the first of the message and read it. But then he goes on and says, he's shown or revealed it in every type that's in the Bible. Every type. And I think this goes right with that. He that was, he which is, and he which is to come, the whole manifestation, the revelation of the Word of God, Adam and Eve going back home again redeemed. The revelation of the Word of God, Adam and Eve going back home again redeemed. God making himself known. What's going back home? What's the Adam and Eve going back home? The whole manifestation, the revelation of the Word of God going back home again. Redeemed. God making his self known. That's what's going back to the garden. All right. So in this message, God's word calls for a total separation from unbelief. So keep that in mind. Total separation as we read down through here. And remember, that was the last sign that was given to the elected church, Abraham and his bunch, before the promised son appeared. Is that right? God had given Abraham signs all along the journey. Now you try to, as Brother Bram said, put your spiritual minds on, he said, and listen to what he's saying. God had given Abraham signs all along the journey, and so has he the church. But when the angel of the Lord come down and do that, do what? He knew the thoughts and intents of the heart. Remember we started on the sign of the Messiah? He stood there at the tent door and said, told him what Sarah was thinking in the tent behind him. And that's what he's talking about. That wasn't done. The sign of the Messiah did not come to anybody but Abraham. God had given Abraham signs all along the journey. And so has he the church. He's give her signs all along the journey. But when the angel of the Lord come down and do that, and I just realized that I had not shared it. I'm sorry. I will do it now.
I jump around a lot. I'm sorry.
All right. But when the angel of the Lord come down and do that, give that sign, he destroyed the unbelieving Gentile, and the expected son that had been waiting for appeared. He destroyed the unbelieving Gentile. And what did he say was going to happen when the seals were opened? The Gentiles had been done away with, he said, because he's coming directly to the Jews. He destroyed the unbelieving Gentiles, We're going to hit that some more here just a minute. He's going to hit this so hard. I don't know how in the world anybody could deny it. He destroyed the unbelieving Gentiles and the expected son that had been waited for, appeared, Isaac. This ministry will end soon, and the expected son will appear himself. The church has come from a son of man revealing the son of man. I heard a brother making fun of Perugia, and I don't know what Perugia is, but what I heard of it, it didn't sound exactly right, but it didn't sound that far off either. It sounded a lot closer than what some of these churches feel like. The church has come from justification. Now he's gonna background what he just said. This ministry will end soon, and the expected son will appear himself. The church has come from justification through Luther, sanctification through Wesleyans, to the baptism of the Holy Ghost through the Pentecostals, and now winding up to the headstone ministry. Type in all the time right into that perfect. It's been typing all the time right into the perfect. Negative shadow becoming positive all this time. Then Jesus will come to catch his church someday, those who believe. And the Gentiles are done away with. Separate yourself from unbelief and believe tonight. Will you do it? That's a good question. Will people do it? Seed is not air with the shuck. Just like Paul said here, did not the seed of the free woman or the bondswoman persecute the seed of the free woman? So Ishmael was persecuting Isaac. And so does the seed of the denomination persecute the genuine grain. It persecutes the genuine grain. It's always got to be that way. They'll not be heirs together. They're not associated together. They're absolutely two different promises, two different times, two different peoples all together. The shuck and the seed. Two different promises, two different times, two different peoples all together. One is the bride, and the other one is a church. No comparison at all with them. No comparison. But still, they are not the seed that's promised to come. Neither was Sarah. Now watch him type these things here. Neither was Hagar. Neither was Sarah. Neither was Mary. None of those three were the seed. They were all the carrier of the seed. Mary was not the seed. She was a carrier of the seed. But she had nurtured, brought forth out of her womb, just like the shuck brought from its womb the real seed. Watch him compare those together. Those Old Testament women, as that royal seed of Abraham was coming down there, and there being the shuck, or the carriers of this seed. And then here comes, just like the shuck brought forth its womb, the real seed from its womb. So now he went right straight back to the New Testament here in the church ages. He's comparing the two. The royal seed of Abraham coming through those three women, being carriers, and this being the shuck. Just like the shuck brought forth its womb, from its womb, the real seed. But the shuck is not the seed. Life passes through the shuck to get into the seed. Mm-hmm. But it's not it. It's closer to the seed. It's hugged up around the seed. way back in the stalk, the life is scattered all through the stalk. It's all through the stalk coming up, Brother Branham was talking about. And when it comes to the pollen, it's gathered down closer. But when it comes to the shuck, it's right down there like the seed. And it forms almost like the seed. The shuck does, but it's still shuck. The life isn't staying there. It's still passing through it. Now look where he's going to bring this. Jesus told us that what would be in the last day be so close it would deceive the very elected if possible. But then the seed comes forth from there. It comes forth from there. And the shuck, the life leaves the shuck. And the shuck is a carrier. When that seed's put out, the life has done went into it. It's already left the shuck. And the shuck is a carrier, and that's just exactly what our denominations has been. A carrier. Well, you can hear them now being upset about that. Because mm-hmm. They were married to the church. I remember that time Brother Holmes said he took that man to the church, and when he come out, he asked him how he was doing. He said, well, he called me a reprobate because he was hitting these denominations and stuff. To where, by grace, you see yourself. Somehow or another, you see yourself in the seed, not in the shuck. By his grace. Yes. Luther, Wesley, Pentecostals, and now it's time for the seed to come forth. Now it's time for it to come forth. That's what it means. And the seed's left. The life has left the shuck. And you know what Brother Ram said? He let it dry up and die so the life would go in the seed. She is not the seed. Mary was not. Just a shuck, tassel, and stalk, carriers of part of the word. Part of the word. Brother Ram said the life was scattered out through it, through the stalk. Carriers are part of the word, not all the word. Luther had justification. Wesley had sanctification. Pentecostals had the restoration of gifts. But when the word come, now they could produce that justification will save a man. They could produce that because that was the life that was passing through there. You believe that? Sure, it was a carrier of the word. Just the same as I believe the stalk is part of the wheat. Just the same as I believe the stalk is part of the wheat. Sure it is, but it's the carrier. It's not where the life stays. It ain't the life. Then along comes sanctification. How many believes in sanctification? You believe the Bible? You have to, sure. See, so still, that's not. It's a little more like, that's two more words. But then come the Pentecost, the restoration of the gifts, speaking in tongues. They call it the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, where they call that the initial evidence, which brought forth the what? The shuck. It brought forth the shuck. But they denominated. But when you come to say, I and my Father are one. When the ministry. See, all those were ministers. But when the ministry comes and says, I and my Father are one. How many ways has he pointed out that that's the case? The sign of the Messiah. The word being revealed. Knowing the hearts and the intent, speaking into existence. I mean, it is so clear. And I and my Father are one. And these other things, then the shuck pulls away from it. That's what they can't take. I and my Father are one. But the real genuine bride church will bring forth the entire word of God. How much of it? The entire. In its fullness and in its strength. That's what she's going to bring forth, the bride. It's in its fullness and its strength, for he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Notice the wombs of Mary. Notice in the wombs of Mary was the seed. In the womb was the seed. All right, going on down. I think it's just the same message here. But when the seed was delivered, it said, when the seed was delivered, the seed said, I come to do the will of him that sent me. What did Moses say? Go back and read Moses' life. He almost always done what the Lord told him until it come down there and he struck the rock. Go look at Elijah. Go look at the different ones. He said even Joseph didn't tell all the truth about something. Everything, he pointed out these different things. But when the seed was delivered, after he'd come through all those carriers, after the royal seed was made manifest, the royal seed said this. Not just said the words. He said the words, but his life was the words too. I come to do the will of him that sent me. I and my Father are one. If I do not his works, believe me not. I don't know about you, but knowing that that is the testimony that we have, that should stir people. That's the promise. We're ordained to this. There was the seed. There was the seed. Not a carrier anymore. And why is he bringing this? He's pointing to today. Which one of you can condemn me of unbelief? What did Brother Branham, how many times did Brother Branham stand in the pulpit and say, any one of you are at liberty to come to me at any time and tell me where one of these things has failed? Anyone has failed. Come and tell me. Not one. Oh, they think they got it now, but which one of you can condemn me of unbelief? What the Bible has promised, I would do. I've done it. God has verified that through me. He said, who can tell me now? Who can tell me now, see? But the seed in Mary, the shuck, in Mary the shuck, it was close to being that. But it wasn't. Mary that shuck was close to being that, but it wasn't. It was still in the womb. The seed was still in the womb. Notice, and in the Pentecostal age, through the Luther age, through the Wesleyan age, it's been the same thing through this Pentecostal age. Now notice, but at the opening of the seven seals, Revelations 10, the full word is to be born into manifestation again. It's to be born into manifestation again. The full word. And vindicated by the Spirit of God in the full strength as it was during the disciples' days. In full strength as it was when he was here on earth. Manifested in the same way, doing the same things that he did when he was here on earth. Amen. Hebrews 13:8 said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then St. Luke 17:30, Jesus said, in the last days, as it was in the days of Sodom, when the Son of Man will be revealing himself again, it'll be the same thing. And boy, have we not got it. Brother Bram said that the homosexual stuff was going back in his day. It was just being hid real well. And I found out the other day that the homosexual stuff was going back in the 20s. When the 20s were roaring along, so was that. They had bars just for that. that were hid underground in New York and all these other big cities, and it was not a little thing. All the money was flowing. All the morals were gone. They whacked off their hairs. They put on, Brother Branham called them, the flapper skirts, which they just hung showing everything. And then, y'all seen the pictures of them. And then they started turning to one another. As it was in the days of Sodom, then the Son of Man will be revealing himself again. It'll be the same thing. Amen. All right, in this message, Shalom. Now, this is really good what he does about the symphony. And y'all know about music. All y'all know about music. So, most all of you. Me and Nathan, I guess, is left out on that one. Unless Nathan knows how to play music and I don't know about it. But now, listen to what he says about these symphonies here. Now, you little children, so you'll understand. Remember in school, I believe you have, what is it, the little Russian symphony. Sometimes they act it out on the drums. What was it called? About the little woodpecker, you know, that got down into the woods. And they had the fluttering and beating on the drums and things. And you hear it all as you go through the symphony as they play it. I forget the name of that. Peter and the Wolf. That's right. Peter and the Wolf. That's a Russian symphony. See, they don't have little figures flying around playing it out. But they play it on drums. And then, until Brother Branham starts knocking on the podium there and I guess beating out the sound and make the drums and the sounds and things, and it plays it out, it acts it out in the stages of the music, it acts out the story, so you'll understand what Brother Branham is trying to say. See, now to you adults, the scripture is God's symphony, not this song here, but so you understand, the scripture is the symphony. Hallelujah. Only the composer knows what it really means, and he reveals it to those who are listening. And who's he revealed to first? The composer reveals it to the prophet. Mm-hmm. What do you say? When the prophet comes on the scene, God is fixing to speak. And he reveals it to those who are listening, who are interested in knowing what the drama is. That's who he's revealing it to. Those who are listening and interested in knowing it. But you'd have to know about a symphony first, see? It's not something you see. It's the changing. It's the junctions of the word, of the music. You all know what he's talking about. As things go along and it builds up to this and, you know, it's telling a story. It throws something. It's going this way for a while, a certain beat, and after a while it changes all around. What is it? To you who wouldn't understand it or don't know nothing about it, not interested in it, it's just a racket. It's just a fuss. But to those who know about it, they're watching for it. They know it's coming. I couldn't help but think about Daniel on this. I think about him a lot. I was talking to her about him the other night, about him being down there by himself. So we have three times of, we have these times of symphonies, of the symphony of God's word. So we have these times when God begins to play out something of his word. Well, he's always doing it. Symphony of God's word, that the whole drama changes. We got these times where the word comes along and the whole drama changes. You who are interested, listening for that change, you know it's getting close. You hear the way the drums are beating. Amen. Won't something to happen. I thought that was so good. You're wanting something to happen. You're hearing the word as it's coming forth, and those are your words, and it's beating out something to you, and you're wanting something to happen. You know this is a change. See, it's going to break out into a burst in a few minutes. See, and you're watching for it. You can tell the way the drums are timing. Oh, God. If you can hear the drums of the finish now, if you can hear the echo of the music of the heavenly word singing itself out, and it shall come to pass in the last days. So he's going to sing you a phrase now. This is what the word says. And if you're listening for this, you hear this coming. You hear that phrase, the fulfillment of that coming. The symphony of God's great drama that he's playing, it changes him. His symphony at the junctions. The composer and those who are interested listen for that change. They feel that change coming, and they're listening for that, and they hear it. That's what all this stuff is to us. We're listening. We're watching. Every time he appears, something happens. We see the time getting close. We see big back yonder not long ago when that church ages was being drawn out. Him pointing back to when he preached the church ages in 61, I think it was. And it was drawn up on the wall in the back of the church, the phases of it. So he's pointing back to that. He's telling you the song now. You heard that part. And then the song's been playing on since then. We see back yonder not long ago when that church ages was being drawn out. We were listening. We're listening to the symphony. We see it was right with the word, beating with the word. After a while, what happened? When it drew it out there, after a while, what happened? He come himself and vindicated it. We heard the word say that in the days of the seventh angel, in the church age, he just said the seventh angel's message would be the last message. And then, we find out over here in Revelation, in the days of the message of the seventh angel, the mysteries of God should be finished. The seventh seal would be pulled back. Here's for all them ones that don't believe it's open. It should be there. This is what we saw in the message. We saw that this is what this is supposed to be. The seventh seal is supposed to be pulled back. It should be there. Then all at once, when it's happening, a vision broke. Said, go to Tucson when the seventh seal is getting ready to be pulled back. Go to Tucson. A great noise will take place at this time, so you'll be thoroughly understanding and know that it's sent. It'll just shake the earth nearly. And all you know about it, it's on tape months before it happened. Then it happened. Look how he's pointing out the symphony, listening for the places, and then pointing out something we were listening for, and then pointing out when it's happening. Months before it happened. Then it happened. Then appeared in the sky, shalom. What is it? It's a change in beats. The symphony, the beat has changed. The drama has completely changed, he says. Then one time he said, now look how, this is so beautiful how he pulls out the third pull here. Then one time he said about the third pull, how it would come. By this one way. What's he talking about? Seeing it in his hand. This is the way the third pull's coming. That was the first. The third pull's coming though. One time he said about the third pull, how it would come by this one way, then by knowing the heart, and then the spoken word. That's how it was coming. See, he was magnifying it. Think about where we are. Jesus said, greater things than this will you do. For I go to my Father. John 14. The works that I do shall you do also. Now, isn't it interesting that he pointed that out about the third pull, and then watch where he goes. Greater works. Jesus tells you it's going to be greater works. For I go to my Father, John 14, the works that I do shall you do also, greater than this, for I go unto my Father. Same God, he said. Remember when he made that statement one time, he said, he's done more in my ministry than he done in his. Mm-hmm. And people didn't catch what he said. He said, now remember, he has done more. Yeah. Same God. Just as I said a while ago, when Mary tried to identify him as Joseph's son, he corrected her. His words cannot fail. He said so. Heavens and earth will fail, but my words will not. Now he's talking about his words when he just said that the third pull was the spoken word. When we hear the symphony beating and changing, fixing to change, it's a junction time. We notice as he began to beat and we sing. He began to beat and we sing. The works that I do shall you do also. He began to beat. These greater works will be, you will do. And we began to see it. Also shall you do also, and greater shall you do. Greater. He promised it. We wondered how it could be. But did you notice? When he performed his first miracle, he took water and turned it into wine. Is that right? He took water, which potentially someday might have been wine, but it was water first. And when he fed 5,000, what did he do? He took something that had been like water. He took a fish that once swam and was born from an egg, and he broke it, and another fish growed onto the creation that was the original. So he took the original and broke it, and something grew onto it. And he took bread that was once wheat and was a seed and become bread. Remember what he said a while ago about when the seed come forth, what did it do? It said this, this, and this, and this. And I just thought it was such a beautiful picture there, him breaking that bread. Because when he broke the bread, what happened? He multiplied it. And all of us come from the breaking of that bread. He took bread that was once wheat, it was once a seed, see, and become bread. And he broke from this bread, and the creation only multiplied. But in the woods, there was nothing there to make a squirrel. Let there be, and there was, without anything to break it from. What is it? The same Jesus Christ, see, greater things than this will you do. For I go to my Father, not take something that's been created, break something from it, and multiply a creation, but absolutely create. Creating through man. Showing that he's the same Jehovah. What is it showing? This is the junction he's talking about. This is where it's completely, the drama has changed, he said. He talked about the sun appearing. He's shown us so many different ways. showing that he's the same Jehovah that stood back there and said, let there be. And there was at the beginning, way back at the beginning. His word was made manifest. When he was made flesh on earth, he took this original creation, broke it back and multiplied it. But now in the last days, when he comes down among us again, the same light that moved down said, let there be light. See, he just speak the creation into existence. And what did Brother Branham say we are in this day? New creation. And who speaks and you come forth? The Son of Man will speak and you'll come forth. The same light that moved down and said, let there be light, see, he just speak the creation into existence. Greater than this will you do, for I go to my Father. Remember, we're at these times. Amen. And I had to cut off about 2 or 3 pages there, but I think there's probably some more, so we'll probably have a third part on Sunday. But I get to going sometimes. I'll have an idea. He puts a thought in there, and I'll go look that out to see what Brother Branham said about it. And then one thing comes and another thing comes. And I don't remember some of these things the way he says them. And then I'll pull the quote out, and I'll be thinking, well, that means such and such. And then I'll go read in the rest of the quote, and there he says it right there. So I just thank him, because if Brother Branham called himself an unprofitable servant, I'm far more unprofitable than he is. But I'm so glad it isn't depending on me. It isn't dependent on any of us. It's all dependent on him. He come brought his word. And we're so thankful for it. Amen. Well, let's stand. Y'all got a song you want to sing? We'll do it.
Yeah, sounds good.
You got it. He's the same God. Is that the one?
That's right.
I look back on history and see the mighty God unveiled, proving over and over that his word can never fail. But I can't keep on dwelling on some past history, 'cause he's the same God who's living in me. Oh, the same God at the well, the same God whose wonders are too many to tell, the same God who parted the raging Red Sea, he's the same God, he's living. The same God who created all the heavens and the earth, who came back living in Jesus, there was power in his word. the same God, and He's living in me. Oh, the same God who spoke to the woman at the well, the same God whose wonders are too many to tell, the same God who parted the raging Red Sea. He's the same God, He's living in me. Amen. Yes. Amen. We'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, as we bow our heads, we're thinking about John when the book God opened, Lord, and how happy he was. And how all of heaven was. And Lord, the prophet said he felt like they saw their names. And Lord, we're so happy you let us see our name, Lord. Because we see ourselves in the message, we find ourselves drawn to it, Lord. Wanting to walk by it, wanting to be pleasing in your sight, Lord. And we just ask that you'll bring it, Lord. Ever how you want to bring it, but just bring us to it and through it, put it in us, Lord. Make it to be so before anyone you want it to be before, Lord. We just ask you and thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping with Grandma this week, being with her all this time you've given us with her, Lord. We pray, Lord, you'll just give her peace. Be with those that are helping her. Lord, each one that you've heard mentioned tonight, Jimmy's father, Lord. We pray that you'll just have your way there. And Lord, just go with us now and keep us till we come back together again. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Amen.